You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 113. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I'm Rogue Schindler.
This week we had some out-of-town tournaments go down. We've got some results for you. We might have a spoiler, depending on whether or not our replies have returned from our field agents. And we have something else to talk about? Yes, something else special to talk about that involves one of my favorite things.
And mine too.
So where would you like to travel first?
Why don't we start off with some tournament reports? I should have mentioned this last week. We got a little caught up in our regional action, understandably. But we do have our ongoing coverage of the I can't remember the name of it now.
Return to Farpoint?
Yes, that's it. First episode TNG was called something. Yes.
the counter at all good things.
The Return to Farpoint series, yes, that Mike Oshogi is running in Iowa. They had their May tournament, which ran all the way up through Strange New Worlds.
And, you know, I'm glad you're saying his name, because I would want to say it wrong every time.
He corrected me after our first broadcast, and I had to, he did it phonetically, which was nice, so that I could actually see what was correct, and since then I've tried to pay attention.
Yeah, that's great. So, was there a new card banned? Is that what happened? Something from a later set? Because they just banned, Govol?
Yeah,
right?
they banned Govol. And then they had a couple of tournaments, and then they were going to have another vote. And as expected, what do you think you would ban between Necessary Evil and Strange New Worlds, which I think covers Reflections and Fractured Time. And
I guess the most popular card would probably be Tragic.
Yeah, that and. Unsurprisingly, that's what they picked as well.
Okay.
I'm wondering, after they had that, because this was we got this report about a couple of weeks ago, if they would have voted differently with the news that we received today.
Right, that it came with a little errata.
That it's now plays how it should have been played all along, more or less.
Okay.
How honest folk use the card, not how semantically cheating folk try to use the card.
Well, the change, I think a big change is that it doesn't work with, just doesn't straight up work with a lot of cards that went into that deck. Your Dalrock and Final Adventure was like paired up for that from like day one, right?
Oh yeah, I guess so. That's a lot of consumes though. I never really liked that.
Well, sure. But it's, you know, choice kill pretty much,
yeah.
Choice kill.
I never really sure a select kill and then a random kill. That's pretty cool. That didn't bother me as much as those what I always felt like were just cheating dilemmas where
stop another kill.
Pick
one
somebody
kill.
To be stopped, and then oh wait, if you don't have X, then they're killed instead. Well, they're not stopped. And killed. They're stopped or killed. You shouldn't get to stop another person and kill another person for that dilemma. That's cheating. So I'm glad that's finally repaired. And it was, you know, because it's a consume two, that was supposed to be part of its cost. So having so many cards that don't go under now kind of counters that cost and makes it a little better. So.
Well, we've got a regional coming up in 2 weeks. Do you think someone? I mean, I'm certain someone would have brought it.
Oh, of course.
Because it pairs up so much. Do you think it'll still be out there?
Well, it's not a bad card. It was never a bad card. I mean, we used it from day one, as I was interpreting it earlier. And it was still, you know, I think you'll see a lot less. I mean, there won't be the tragic turn deck anymore, which is, you know, that really slim, you know, three tragic turns and a bunch of dilemmas that don't go under to kill and stop. I think that might be a thing of the past, but I don't think I don't think people will just stop playing with it unless you're participating in this series of tournaments where it is now been voted to be banned.
Of course. Well, very good. I'm still going to bring some kill prevention when we play in 2 weeks, but
oh, sure.
If you don't expect to see it, more power to you. I don't know. It seems to come and go around here every once in a while. Our meta is odd in that I don't think it's as, I don't want to say it's not as competitive, but you know, it's not as bloodthirsty, maybe.
I would agree. As cutthroat.
So you know, you don't see it all the time, and then all of a sudden, you know, everyone brings it to a tournament because everyone thought everyone else forgot about it.
Yeah.
It's just lots of carnage that day. Well, was there anything else on the errata list that caught your eye? Did you play? I mean, when I think of people playing, you know, Klingons, it's, you know, internationally Neil, locally it's you. did you ever use Mara for the downloading?
Sometimes, but not. I don't know. I'm apparently missing something. I did always think it was funny that you only had to play a regular Klingon and then discard a past Klingon. That made her a little more powerful. Mm-hmm. But I usually, if I was playing her, it was with the discount past Klingons. Mm-hmm. And I was usually trying to get interrupts. I guess, I don't know, the only event that I've seen really running with that is the challenge. I don't know if they wanted people to not get that or what. But
I believe a lot of people were running and just getting the maneuver events when they needed it. You're not ready here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, okay, now you can get your Relentless, I guess.
Yeah, well, you can still get that. That was one of the things I chiefly used it for. And you could still get Silent Strike.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, that'd come out of nowhere. Except that if you downloaded it, then they know you have it in your hand. But
yeah, they know it's coming. Love that.
But you know, right. If you get it on your turn and then you play it on that turn, it's not really anything they can do about it.
Yeah, that'd be the good way to do it. What else was on the list? I didn't see much. Go ahead.
The big one is Kirk. I think after tragic turn.
Okay.
I'm happy about it. I don't know that it's that much better. Because half of the power of Kirk to the power of Kirk is, it's like security drills. You know, you throw security drills out there and then you moan because you never played it. But its mere presence affects what dilemmas your opponent plays. And you don't have to use Kirk's ability for him to have an influence over how long and how much an opponent has to decide on what to throw down. You know, you could just not use it, and you know, now they've probably thrown an overcosted dilemma at the end, figuring that you're going to Kirk one of them, and that one just becomes overcome. So
right, but I think it does take away the captain on the bridge playing him four or five or six times. But over and over again, every turn.
When was the last time you played him that many times, though? I played that deck at our regional, and I only ever played him three times in a turn. I never played him more than 3 times.
You have to draw into him 3 times now.
True.
But I mean, that'll slow you down right there. Granted, if you're... you can... I just imagine dropping him down and then playing these are the voyages on him, so you can draw the other two. But... and then back out of play.
Yeah, I mean, you still got, you know, a trip to Romulus. You're going to run the Enterprise if you're playing TOS. You can still download them fairly easily and play them cheap.
I think the decks that I ran that I would play him multiple times. I didn't have to have three copies of him in the deck because, well, number one, I wasn't playing an 80-card deck. I was playing, you know, something about half that. So, you know, you draw one, and that's all you need. Now, you if you want to be sure you're going to get three uses out of them, you're going to put three copies in your deck.
Yeah, but
you've got things like security drills, so you can use them somewhere else if, for some reason, it's just not working out for you. But
I think a lot of people were playing with Moore anyway because he's the he's always the first secret ID choice. Mm-hmm. And if you want to get him back, you got to grab another copy. At any rate, I'm sure it'll slow it down a little. I don't know if it'll be enough.
He still has that Earth icon.
Yeah, he still has that Earth icon.
That's the first thing I looked for when I saw the the new card was posted. All right, does he have it? Oh no, we got something to talk about on the show.
Despite its complete lack of any justification for being there, it's been made clear by all the people who matter that it's not going anywhere, even though it really should never have been there to begin with.
Okay, well, we can say that now. I mean, there was a reason for it at the time, but there was no way to play him.
Yeah, but you know, and there was no way to play 7 of 9 when she came out either. But there was, you know, there was no way of playing 7 of 9 when she came out either. Granted, she was a preview AP, but you know, Genesis could have just as well have been a couple of preview cards that we got to use later.
Oh, anyway. I think that would have been a great idea, but you know, I don't think marketing agreed.
Yeah, and now we've all suffered for it.
What else is on the list here? Condition red, I think that just works the way it's supposed to. Hate, I guess, works the way we all thought it worked. Although, do you know what paying a cost means?
Well, I don't know. I think that wasn't that adjusted for the CRD change, which was quickly
unchanged. Yeah.
I mean, I would assume paying a cost is anything that says do X to gain a skill. So, you know, if you have to discard a card or lose 5 points or
yeah, okay,
anything like that. I mean, other than that, I don't know.
I mean, well, let's say cadets, when you attempt a mission, when they're facing a dilemma,
so they don't have
that wouldn't be paying a cost at all.
They just gain the skills.
Right.
I mean, they don't, facing a dilemma isn't really paying a cost.
What about a piece of equipment? Did you pay a cost to put that equipment into play?
See, but that's not part of gaining the skill, I think. You pay the cost to play the equipment into play, but
sure.
If there's nobody there, you don't have to pay for them to gain it from the equipment. You're just making me run in circles now.
No. Let's follow that to the logical conclusion. If I have a personnel at my headquarters and I played equipment, I paid a cost.
The cost you are paying is not to gain the skill. The cost you are paying is to bring the equipment into play.
Okay. Fair enough. I agree.
This is going to turn into one of those episodes of Mythbusters where I spend the first 20 minutes going, that's so stupid. Why are they doing that? That's not how it's meant to be. And Caitlin has to constantly call me down saying, yes, no, but they know that, but they have to illustrate it scientifically from the beginning to the end so that they can get to the part they want to test. And I'm like, that's not how it works. It's just supposed to block the reflection from your eyes.
Wow. Also on the list was Navarre, Experience Gift. She was good before. She's still pretty good. I guess she gets one skill now
She's good instead of crazy.
Okay, that sounds good.
Well, I mean, you got to... It was Chakotay fever, only she didn't fall into the Chakotay rule. And now she does.
Yeah, okay. Now, since Tragic Turn's been changed to just happen once, and Navarre's been changed to just happen once, was there something else that made the Chakotay rule? The Chakotay rule. Can they just change the card to say once now and be done with it, or is the Chakotay rule still worth being in effect? You
I
know
thought
what I mean?
There were. Well, there were. I mean, Tragic Turn was one that
well,
was affected by that. I mean, even then, it still is. I mean, it instead of you know, way back in the day when you hit Tragic Turn, Whispers in the Dark, and you kill 3 people, and then you kill 3 more people.
Right, but what I'm saying is with the new errata, the Tragic Turn, it's only ever going to kill or stop 1 person no matter what,
because
it specifically says. So now that that's gone, can we lighten up the rules load a little bit?
But if you get rid of that, then Chakotay's, you know, you still got the Chakotay's running around.
Right. So since it's only on personnel now, we've got 1, 2, 3, you know, personnel who can do this WoW thing. Would it be just simpler instead of going through this whole rigmarole of WoW only works once when you're facing a dilemma, but any other time you can do it as many times as you want? Maybe I'm just confusing myself, and I don't need to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're just opening it up. I think that's not a bad rule to have. It clarifies things, and it, you know, it's not causing an over amount of frustration, I think, and it tightens things up for design so they don't have to think of every single card that they make.
That's true. I guess going forward it makes things easier.
Yeah.
All right, well... We had one other tournament result in Santa Barbara, right?
Let's return to our regularly scheduled tournament report now that we've gone through the errata. the Iowans still finished their tournament. They had this was their May installment of the monthly return to Farpoint, and Ben Paulson won the day with the Tain Intelligence deck.
Nice.
And Greg Bloom was able to come in second with Bajorans, followed by Amber Mitchell and the Romulan Stooges, very popular right after you know, Necessary Evil and the years following.
So, I seem to remember that being a good time for Baran and the Artifacts.
Yeah, that was that era with the 10th anniversary stuff.
Or maybe that's just because Johnny was really good and played it a lot and beat us all up.
Yeah. Played it a lot.
So what's next on their docket?
So next they're coming up to These Are the Voyages. That'll include... that'll take them through Voyager and TOS. So it's looking like Kirk is on the list. They're not going to ban a card until they get to These Are the Voyages.
Did they already do Enterprise?
No. Oh, yeah. So that's right. Captain's Log.
Ah.
Too Old to Go. And so that'll be the next block.
Okay.
Since they just banned a card, so they'll do. I'm assuming they're still doing them one a month, adding since those are all full sets, before they got to the string of boutiques. But the next block that they'll ban a card after will be at These Are the Voyages. So they have a laundry list of things that are on that list for possible banning. Kirk is on the list. Grav Plate Trap, which I think is interesting. I guess they...
Certainly is popular.
Yeah. But I don't know how you can do that when Kirk is on that list. And Issue a Trust. That's a big one, too.
I know we have Brad on, and he just told us how much he hated that card.
Oh, yeah. At the very, very minimum, he would increase it to 4 cost, which I think is... I would still play with it.
It just hits so many decks so hard.
Oh man! All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess so. The one note they have on their speculative ban list for the next vote is that 2 cards are exempt from the vote: Finding Our Way and USS Voyager.
Voyager, that's hilarious.
I'd vote for it.
You just say, in order to play that, you have to play with The Long Journey Home.
Yeah. Sure. I'd make Long Journey Home immune to cancellation.
and
mandatory.
You can play no planet missions. That'd be a fun, an interesting tournament to say that planet missions are banned. Go.
This would be Voyager and Genesis. Oh, wait, no, but that starts as a planet mission. It's backwards.
Yeah. That's what we need. We need a good planet mission that turns in, or a space mission that turns into a planet.
That'd be the Genesis torpedo. Because the nebula. They fire it into a nebula and it turns it into a planet. Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Okay, all right. Now moving on to our the playgroup just north of us in Santa Barbara. A carload full of four San Diegans went up to play. Is that right?
Yes.
And it looks like I think I've opened up the wrong tournament here because there's only four people here.
No, that can't be right. I think they had at least eight.
Oh, this is the one that Matt had his place. All right. Here we are. So TK and TV and Charlie and one, two, three.
Matt,
that's right. Went up to Santa Barbara, joined them by the locals, Carlos and Donati and Joel and I don't know who these last two people are. They don't have real names. Draven88 and Cat Cedar.
Well, Cat Cedar is his real name.
Oh, well, there you go.
And
all right, well.
One of them would have to be Kevin Reitzel.
Darth Raven88?
Maybe.
Playing TOS?
I have no idea. I wasn't there, but I know the whole point of the tournament was to go and challenge Kevin. So,
well, judging by his 7 victory points, it looks like things went over well for everyone else. I hope they got a lot of prizes on the day for the Beat Kevin Reitzel tournament. TK came out on top with a deck called TK Optimism Version 1.0, and it looks like just a lightning fast blue deck. That, 11 people out on turn 2 with the ship and cheaters in hand.
Yeah.
Yikes. Yeah. You know, if he would have cut 8 dilemmas out of his deck, he could have gotten the minimal deck size achievement.
I'm kind of shocked he hasn't got that yet.
Well, congrats to TK for just destroying people with this next-gen deck. He wasn't even using the new Enterprise. It was just little itty bitty ships, the Kelpo and the Excelsior, to just go as fast as possible.
Oh man, that Kelpo. Speaking of cards that don't need an Earth icon.
Is there anything else in here that has an Earth icon? Doesn't look like it. Anyway, congrats to TK. TV came in second with a Bajoran deck. I haven't seen Bajorans do anything crazy lately. Did you get to talk to him? It doesn't look like he was playing.
I haven't got to see him yet. He won when we went up in January with Bajorans.
Was he playing the new Resistance?
And it was a Kerno. It was a crazy new. He was playing Mirror Bajorans.
Huh. And well, I see the Kira Nerys Hero of Bajor, so I don't see a lot of Mirror stuff in here.
Well, Hero of Bajor is probably going to be Resistance then.
Matt Kirk was playing Maquis and came in third. Carlos came in fourth. Charlie came in fifth with a long journey home deck. Very good. Donati was playing Tarek Nor. Joel with Romulans. Kevin with TOS. And last place with Kat with Cardassians. Good turnout. 9 people.
Nice. Yep.
And of course, triples afterwards. And I think I hear that TK won that too.
Wow, took the day.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to him for going up. And I'm disappointed that I couldn't quite make it up to see Kevin. But I hope he had a good time coming back and playing the game. And thanks to him for being a good sport, coming out and seeing everybody while he was back in town. Now, we are getting all kinds of reports. There's a lot of stuff going on. Regional season is wrapping up. We've got what? We've just got one more here.
Yeah, one more in our neck of the woods. There's still plenty going on around, but what do you foresee?
July is Continentals.
Yes.
It's new. It's the rollover for prize support, is it not? Tournament kits?
Yes, that's right. We're coming up on the end. I've got a limited supply of the half one 2011 promos, and we're going to roll over to the second half. And I've seen them. I've cut them out. I've looked at them, and they are spectacular.
Now, I've always meant to ask. I know you are basically the hands-on. You do all the labor. Do you get to have any kind of participation in what is selected and how they go about? I know obviously there's not really any design issues, but and art probably picks a lot of the alternates. But do you get any hand in the suggestions of the themes or the selection of the cards that are included in that? How's that work?
I want to say that there's a shipping and prizes forum, and every once in a while someone will say, hey, we should look at the next ones, and Charlie will throw out a theme, and pretty much I know that I think he works with Chris Loban and goes through and figures out what the most popular non-printable cards are to make them appropriately playable and make it to things people want. Usually there's a good theme. Last time with 1E it was all the ultra rare cards except for the ones that no one plays with. This time the theme matches the next set, and it's spectacular. So there's a lot of ship stuff. It's pretty cool.
Do you have a favorite that you're looking forward to?
Yes. There are several cards that I've never played with, but I've always thought it would be interesting.
Nice.
I mean, they're deck cards people use all the time. It's just not something that I've played with because I don't play that style of deck. But that's just so much cool explosions and all kinds of stuff going everywhere. And Johnny did a spectacular job on the 2E cards. The 1E cards, it's less of a theme, but more of just a smattering of everything. It strikes me as kind of a just good generic, this is what we need right now promo set.
Cool.
Cards that you'd like to have a lot of, cards that work well together. It looks nice.
So
there's a little bit of, especially for the 1E one, we threw out suggestions, and there was a couple, well, that one is on the watch list, so we don't want to do anything with that. We thought about doing another two-sided card, and that ends up being actually more work because if you order, 9 cards, now I have to make 10 cards because
right.
I've got to put the back on the other one. So I don't know if we'll be doing that again anytime soon, but yeah. And I think Charlie takes suggestions in the chat room too.
I will say that
you're on there.
That DS9, that 1E promo DS9 Terragnor is just about the coolest thing that I've seen come out.
I really
in the
wanted
TCC era, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I really wanted to see one of those dual-sided missions, like the Delta Quadrant one, be a promo card. Because then you have foil on the front and back, maybe I get a little bit of use. It keeps being like the seventh mission in my decks, especially if I want to have a little interaction.
Yeah.
And go out and fight people. It's always the one that I have to pull out last. And it's disappointing, but I want to have a reason to use it, and being foil would definitely kick it up a little bit. But I think they're great. I think if anything, I have a little bit more say in what the next triple promos are going to be. But even then, that's only once or twice a year, so it'll be a little while before we see another one.
Well, it's funny you should mention triples.
Yes.
While we're talking about exciting new things that are coming up. Because you and I just got to play with a new toy that our Mailwiss has been putting together for the community. At long last, we are going to be getting our Tribbles deck builder.
Yeah, and it's as awesome as you'd expect. I mean, it looks just like the 2E deck builder. It's not nearly as complicated as the 1E deck builder. There's a couple of drop downs, so you can choose what keyword you want or what denomination. It filters it all out. You just add it to the pile. It'll give you a matrix down at the bottom with how many of each denomination, then how many of each power you have.
I love that.
Yeah, and then you can go through and link them to tournaments, which I have already done.
Nice.
So that people can go online and take a look at a regional winning deck or just a tournament winning deck and take out the real cards and add in a few virtuals and you're good to go.
Yeah, and a lot of people have been, getting into Tribbles and not entirely sure what to do with building a deck, which, you know, I remember how that felt when we finally picked it back up and we're trying to, man, I don't know, it's like Young Jedi. I guess I'll just put, you know, six of each denomination in or 10 of each of the six denominations in and see how that goes. Or maybe I should put a little more of this and a little less of that and, you know, just try it and play. But, I guess you kind of get the feel for it after you play for a while, but this will be a good good way for new players to go and look at decks that people are playing and see what's, you know, not that you can really have a too much of a winning deck build because, you know, so much more of percentage of the game is luck than compared to, you know, something like Star Trek. But still, you have a little better chance of, you know, grokking how the game flows.
Yeah, and you can go on there, and I know I put up one all virtual deck that I'm actually looking forward to trying out. You hit the print deck list button, and it prints you out, you know, how many pages is this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 pages of Tribbles, and you just cut them up and go. That's it.
Yep.
No cards required.
No more, you know, exactly. You don't have to worry about trying to find trouble with Tribbles unless you really want to. Most of them are online now, so you can make a fully printable deck. So
yeah, that'll just get better as we do more regional and continental promos. So
exactly.
Awesome.
And
speaking of, I just put two, going back to the shipping thing really quick, put two packages in the mail today for Australia and Europe with 99 cards in each one. And
wow.
71 buttons.
Oh, I want 71 buttons.
Anyway, go ahead.
That's awesome. The Continental's prizes are going to be awesome. Very much looking forward to that. And people can now post your Continental Tribbles decks.
That's right.
And because there will be there is now a Tribbles deck builder. Do you know what else that means?
Tribbles achievements are finally here.
There can be Tribbles achievements.
Well, we've already got some.
Yeah, but all we can register really right now is how many Tribbles you breed. How many you score in a game. And so that's why all of the achievements that we've had so far have been 1 million, 5 million, 10
right.
million.
So example, what can you do now that you couldn't do before?
Well, just like with the existing decks, you know, if you could have theme decks, you know, instead of play Bajoran, play Romulan, play Dominion. We could have play a rescue deck or play a bonus deck. And as long as you have put your deck list in the deck builder and you've made it public and you've attached the deck to the Tribbles tournament in the system, you can get your Tribbles achievement.
That is awesome. So what kind of... I know for affiliated, it's about 50 more than 50%. Is that right? More than half?
It is more than it's a majority, which is
right.
You know, 50 or over. But
well, I'm looking at my Clone and Go deck, which, grantedly, is split between Clone and Go, and there's only 16, 20, 20, 22, and 8. About 30% clones. So what would be the requirement for getting let's say playing a clone deck as an achievement? What would be the requirement for playing a clone deck?
That's an excellent question. Right now, I did the same thing. You know, we put in several decks to try things out, and I went through all of my quote-unquote rescue deck is about 25-30% rescues. Rescue is the focus of it, but there's a lot of support cards that go into making the rescue flow. And my poison deck, same thing. You know, you can't, there's only three denominations of poison. You still have to keep things going and rolling, and you know, you're not always going to get poison. Sometimes you're going to get antidoted, so there's other point cards in there. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking somewhere around a third. I'm still working out the numbers, but I think it's probably going to be something like 30-35%.
Okay. I see my poison deck that I've gotten there has got, it's a 52-card deck, and 25 of them are poison, so score on that. You almost hit 50 with that. That's pretty good.
Wow.
But
yeah.
The deck does a little, go a little slower than other poison decks. Interesting.
So that's definitely something that we'll see in the upcoming achievement release, which I'm very much looking forward to. I was hoping to have, and then I wasn't sure, and then after much silence on that front, this just sort of popped up as things do with Mailwiz, which is awesome.
Neat. So is there a scheduled release for achievements coming up?
The achievement release is not yet scheduled, but I can tell you it will probably be in July.
Oh, before Worlds then?
I think so. I'm hoping before Continentals, but
neat.
That's going to depend on making sure everything comes through. I guess you could call it a playtest file. I've got the list, and now it's got to be worded properly and coded.
Okay.
Make sure I think everything is passed coding inspection, where
okay.
Chris has to go through and say, "Yep, we can do that. No, that's impossible. That might work, but it's going to make things slow, etc." So I think most everything is doable. And no, there's some texting and got to work on some images for some icons. But I'm definitely thinking definitely before Worlds.
That's awesome, because Worlds and Continentals have one thing in common, and that is a lot of side events.
Yes.
Where you can just play all the funny stuff that will get you achievements.
Exactly. And I think it'll be fun.
All right. What else should we talk about? I think I have one more thing on my docket. You?
I think that might be the same thing.
All right. While we were recording, we did get a response from one of our agents, and we have a spoiler. And I've already closed it. No, here it is. As expected, this is a ship. This is a ship from the new set, which I believe has no name yet.
It's the... I believe it's called This Set Is All Ships.
Yes, right.
And captains.
This is a Nebula class ship, which we haven't seen a lot of. We've got Nebula and the Sutherland.
Yes, the Sutherland, right? Which was Data's ship.
All right. So in back in 1E, we've also had the Phoenix. So now we finally have the Phoenix in 2E. Same cost as the Sutherland, right? 5.
Yeah, 5.
USS Phoenix Wayward Starship.
Same staffing requirements as expected. Command, staff. This is a TNG icon rather than an Earth, though. And similar stats, 888 across the board.
As I said, Nebula class is right there in the middle there. It's a picture of... It's actually a great picture. It's kind of flying up over you toward your right. So it's not an angle we've seen, I don't think, for a Nebula class ship before.
No, I don't think so. That's a nice...
Usually we get it overhead so you can see that little pod thing on the top.
It's like the same angle as the Enterprise D from 1E Premiere.
Oh, yeah, exactly. The text says, when your personnel fail a mission attempt at a space mission, if this ship is at that mission, you may discard the top 3 cards of your deck to take a card in your discard pile into hand. You may do this only once each turn.
So now this is the Sutherland mechanic. Discard 3 cards when you fail a mission attempt.
So do you think that's the... You know, we've got... Every Enterprise is going to do this. It's going to get points when you do something.
Yes.
Is this the Nebula ship mechanic?
It might be. We've only had one Nebula ship mechanic.
Yeah.
I can speak words. This seems to be following up, and that would be cool. I mean, we've only seen 2... maybe 3 if you count random ones in battle scenes from other episodes, but you know,
isn't there like one always docked at DS9 or something?
yes, during the war there is very frequently one docked at DS9. In fact, there's one on the DS9 promo, isn't there?
Yeah.
That virtual foil. Oh. Yeah.
And there was the one from the end of
End of Generations.
Yeah.
In the
yeah.
It's on the Dilemma.
Yeah. Was it Farragut or something like that?
Yeah. Very good.
So nebula class ships like to fail missions. That's what we've learned.
So one more reason for people to put Transport Crash Survivor in their decks.
Yes.
Well, you know, that was the old real, you know, the old Sutherland cheese trick. You go out and you attempt with one or none or, you know, very few so you could fail and then
right.
get the free cards underneath. I like this much better, getting a card out of your discard pile. It's got a nice parallel with the theme, I know, with the Benjamin
right.
Maxwell and kind of reaching into the past and you know, having to deal with...
Cardassians are discarding cards.
Exactly.
To get something back. That fits well. There's a quote on the bottom that says, "You have a dangerous man out there with a huge arsenal at his command. If he is intent on revenge against my people, he must be stopped."
And that's, that's a good episode.
Yeah, the collector number is 24V49.
24th set, wow.
Yeah. And of course, this comes with all the caveats. This picture was taken at some point during the design of this set, so who knows if it's going to be changed or cut before the actual release, but this looks like a pretty finished card, so we'll see what happens.
It is very nice looking and more final than a lot of the spoilers we get, so I wouldn't be surprised to see this as is.
I wonder if that means we're getting her captain.
That would be pretty cool. We haven't seen Benjamin Maxwell on Tui, have we?
Wayward captain?
that would make sense.
I wonder if he'd stop you from discarding cards or something. Do something anti-Cardassian.
Get something back from your discard pile.
Yes. Your opponent may not discard cards to pay a cost.
If you have this personnel aboard his... What's the Tui lingo? Aboard a matching ship or just aboard there? They just say the Enterprise or the Phoenix?
Corresponding.
That's usually on the ship, though, if you have the corresponding commander aboard.
Isn't that on Bold Man? Khan?
Oh, maybe. He is the corresponding... Well, he says he is the corresponding commander for a ship he is on.
Yeah,
anyway. Well, while he's on the ship, you can go to Cardassia Region Mission and blow something up. Your opponent cannot score points from Cardassia Region Missions.
Oh, jeez. very good. Well, I think I'm out.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of stuff coming up, so we've certainly given you a little bit of everything to think about, and we'll continue to have more information as we go forward.
Yeah, look for us to have another spoiler next week when we record, and failing that, we've got a regional in 2 weeks, and I look forward to talking about that when it's wrapped up.
Definitely. In the meantime, I am Sir Rogue.
And I am Sir Dan.
I'll shout out to Warp 11, and thanks, TK. Welcome back. And we'll remind all of you listeners out there to expand your power in the universe.
And I will draw... I must be playing one of your decks, 113 to end.
Hey. I cut my last deck down to 100.
I don't know how many times I've used that joke, but it still makes me laugh every time.
You know, once we get over 150, you're going to have to retire that. It's going to have to be like a lackey 1E deck where somebody's playing Hexany. Let's see, I'm playing 1E online, so I'll throw 187 cards in the deck.
You're a double agent, but they know. And you'll be double crossed by the double.